Hello and welcome to the Una Series podcast. My name is Katie Miller, co-founder of Una Series, and I am so excited to be here today with someone who I have just met. I have been placed into contact with her through a dear friend of ours who thought, do you know what? There's something common here. I think the both of you need to meet. And I'm always so grateful for those connections because I think that is where the creativity, you know, really thrives. So I'm here today with Fiona Toomey of Nessa Organics. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to meet you. This is very exciting.
Me too. These conversations, and I know I let you know, but we are wrapping up our Female Founder podcast series for the month of November with Miss Fiona. So this is going to be exciting to talk to her a little bit more about her business, her entrepreneurship journey, and how she got started. But before we do that, I always like passing the mic off to my lovely guests and asking them, Fiona, who are you? Of course, we're going to hear all about you in your career and your professional life, but I want to know a little bit more about who are you outside of work?
Outside of work, gosh, okay. I feel like work's such a big part of me. I forget sometimes. I feel like Nessa's taken over, but I am Fiona. I am Irish Canadian. I have three children and I live in London, and really my life is my kids outside of work because they've taken over my life. But yeah, that's me, living in London with my husband, three boys, and yeah, we, you know, do all the usual things parents do. And then yeah, Nessa is obviously a huge part of me. And it's, I suppose with most entrepreneurs, it becomes like, yeah, it becomes a bigger part than maybe just your regular job.
Absolutely. It's like your fourth child.
It is. It's the girl I never had, basically. I'm like, three boys and Nessa.
Oh my goodness. I love that. So tell me, obviously you have your three children. When did Nessa fall in? Was it before your first, in the middle, at the end?
So I think I was after my first, I really was struggling with just kind of my aftercare post baby. So I had kind of thought about possibly setting something up. And then I had my second quite quickly afterwards. And again, I was like, again, struggling. And I was like, how do these things not exist? How can't I find these things? So it was in between number two and three that I kind of set it all up and got everything together. And then I launched when I was 4 months pregnant with number three.
Wow.
So it was kind of in between two and three. And okay. Then, yeah.
Okay, babe. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So I'd love to, you know, have our listeners and viewers hear a little bit more about Nessa Organics. So if you could just give us, you know, a nice brief on what is Nessa Organics, when did it start, and what is it that you do?
Yeah, so Nessa Organic started in 2019. We are skincare and wellness for women's evolving bodies. We started very much as a kind of postpartum aftercare. So for kind of like scarring and all the lovely things that happen to you after you have a baby. But we've recently launched our menopause category as well. So we're really focused on just that skincare and wellness of your evolving body. So kind of from pregnancy right through to menopause. So all those kind of big hitting hormonal changes that you go through as a woman. So that's kind of what we are and what we're covering. We recently did a big rebrand and relaunch just in October. So we doubled our line, and, you know, we've really kind of now started separating out the categories. So yeah, that's where we are. So I'm the CEO, creator, founder, you know, million business on. So yeah, that's where we are. So we're just 2 years, really.
Wearing all the hats at once. I get it. It's a lot. So for us at Una Series, you know, women's health is such a big discussion and conversation and topic that we see weaving its way through all of our months and all of our themes. I'd love to know a little bit more about, I know you started with the prenatal and the postnatal aftercare. Where did that inspiration come from? Was it from you personally having this experience after your children, not finding the products that you needed?
Yeah, it was a very personal journey. I think I felt very isolated and alone and upset with kind of the beauty industry and all, just kind of the aftercare after my first baby. So I just, you know, everything that was available was kind of, you know, from a pharmacy, or, you know, like I remember going to a pharmacy and basically telling them that my vagina was sore and them kind of like throwing a witch hazel bottle at me. And I was just like, is this what it's come to? Like, is this, you know, there's just so many like amazing brands and wellness and beauty. And like, this is, it was just such a low period. I was like, how is there nothing that makes me feel good about myself and that's actually going to help me heal? So that's kind of where it started. And it's, I was also really allergic to a lot of ingredients. So like, for example, I was breastfeeding and there's lanolin in pretty much every breast cream. So I was like highly allergic to this. So that it really started like from a quite desperate point of me trying to find something that I could heal my body with. So that's really where it started. And then it kind of grew from there. And it was really about kind of finding the pain points of women during these times and how we can solve them. And really finding the products, you know, not really from a beauty perspective, but of like actually helping them heal.
Yes. And I think, you know, for a mother myself, I remember my journey with my first child. And after having him, I did have a C-section. So that was a whole nother experience that you leave the hospital and you don't really have an instruction manual or somebody saying, this is normal, this isn't normal, you should be feeling this, you shouldn't, this is the product you should be using, trying on your body. So I think, you know, I hear you walking into a store and sometimes almost the shame and the embarrassment of saying, this is what I'm feeling. It was really hard.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of women do feel like that. And, you know, again, the C-section, just the kind of lack of knowledge and information. And then I also see it in the menopause category. Again, just, you know, there's huge changes and women don't know where to go and don't know where to find information and are embarrassed. And it's, you know, so it's really about talking about those taboos and kind of bringing them to light and just, you know, they're not things we should be embarrassed about. We should be talking about these. It's very normal.
It is. It's the reality of all of us transitioning from different phases of our life and it's going to happen, you know, but weaving those conversations in at an early point. One of our most listened to podcasts is our perimenopausal podcast, you know, because it is happening, you know, especially to our target market at the moment, you know, people are really tuning in and listening and saying, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And even myself, you know, I'm learning so much on this journey. So tell us a little bit about your journey and through research, you know, how did you put these products and these ingredients together?
Yeah, I mean, it took a long time because like I didn't want to launch something and just be like, oh, let's just see, you know, so it was a huge amount of, yeah, research into ingredients, you know, talking to loads of different manufacturers, loads of different cosmetic scientists and really understanding and also just finding out what is available, what's available in different countries. You know, like there's parts of the US that are a little bit further ahead in some kind of product developments and naturals and organics and also just trying to figure out what was the best for these women, especially someone like a C-section. So we've got a C-section balm, you know, it's so raw and like you can't just kind of put loads of stuff on it. So it was very much, there's a lot of like scientific research and efforts put into the ingredients, who was going to make them, who was going to manufacture them, and all that. Yeah. So it took, I'd say I was probably researching for about 9 months before, you know, and doing customer surveys and, you know, trying to get into like Facebook groups and friends and trying to find out what people were looking for. So I would say it took me about 9 months to before I kind of was like, okay, here's the business plan.
Wow. And when you set this business up, because a lot of our listeners on this podcast series, they are entrepreneurs themselves or, you know, people thinking of taking that jump and that leap into a new project. How did you get started if we strip it back, you know, to basically the fundamentals of starting a business, the financials? Did you go on fundraising? You know, how did you take your baby steps to set this up?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the very start, I wanted to see, you know, it was like, does this work? Will people buy it? I didn't want to put loads of money into something, you know, before I didn't test it. So I do think there's a certain amount of testing that needs to be done. And obviously you can do all this research and you can be like, okay, you know, this is going to work. But then you do have to kind of product fit your market and everything. So we just launched with one product and then did another one. So I literally put everything into these two products actually. And I was like, I just, you know, I need to see if people like them. So I didn't kind of go for loads of money. I ordered like kind of stock bottles and jars and I did everything with low minimum orders. Like I searched for places that would do these on a small kind of run for me rather than like thousands. Because obviously that's a huge amount of money. So the first kind of 6 to 9 months, it was just really getting this customer feedback. Like, do they like it? What do they like about it? Like, it's just, you know, and then like figuring out how to change it, what we're doing next. Like, it's just, I mean, it's probably the most important thing. I'm so glad I didn't go in with everything and just kind of launch like 10 products, because you can't learn that way. You've got to learn in small chunks. And I didn't have the funding at this point. I still had to kind of prove it to myself, just that this was going to be a viable business. So I went in small and put my own money into, I actually was made redundant on my maternity leave. So I put my redundancy money into the business and set it up on like,
I love hearing these stories, because I think those are those moments of bravery when we are, as entrepreneurs, taking that jump and that leap ourselves, thinking, I don't know if I'm making the right decision, but I'm just going to go for it. And I'm going to jump and I'm going to put it all in. And, you know, the journey, it's tough. It's grueling, you know, and you're talking about 9 months through the research phase. That's 9 months of, you know, a lot of productivity and time that you had to put that grit and determination into, you know, fusing into the business.
I think you need to be convinced yourself that this is, you know, the right thing to do as well. And I think I needed to put that time into it. I needed to be 100% sure that this was the right thing to do and that people were going to love it.
So the two products that you launched with, tell me what those were.
So that was the Nipple SOS and the Scar Savior.
And are these your hero products?
These are my hero products. Yeah. I mean, and then we launched Vagina Victory Oil probably about 10 months later. So they're my three core. I mean, Scar Savior and Vagina Victory Oil are still my best sellers.
I love these names. So,
I know. Yeah.
I love it. That must have also been another creative process, trying to decide on the names of the products.
Yes. Well, they all have kind of have a meaning. So Nessa is actually a mythical Irish warrior. So she's like a strong, badass woman. And then all the names kind of have like war kind of warrior references. So it's like Scar Savior, Vagina Victory Oil, Nipple SOS. So they kind of all, you know, just like strong women, basically.
True. It's the essence of the woman, the female body. And I have to say, after I had my children, I remember saying to my husband, holy cow, women are phenomenal, just incredible creatures. And I think, you know, you get to the other side and you're so proud of your body and the journey that you've been on, that you sometimes have to stop and reflect on how much you've been through pregnancy, postnatal, you know, the menopause, all the hormones, the monthly changes. It's, you know, women are extraordinary.
They are. It's intense. Like, being a woman, it's like there's a lot going on.
So tell me, how do you keep in touch with your users and your customers?
Yeah, we have a couple of Facebook groups, which are great. I actually have like a lot of contact over emails. They do email us a lot, which has been amazing. So we do keep in contact with them regularly. I find emails being the best thing. We do small surveys every now and then. Social's been great, but the direct contact from customers over emails like has given us just so much. Like, we've changed products, you know what I mean, from people, like people's feedback. It's been amazing.
It's really important. I think the customer voice, you know, carries any product, any brand forward, because I keep saying, and I fully believe in it, the consumers are becoming the experts, you know. Yeah.
They are so savvy. Yes. I mean, some of the questions we get, like, they're so technical, you know, and I'm like, wow, like you guys are really reading the inky list. Like, it's, you know, they're so, so savvy at the moment. It's amazing. Like, it's great to see kind of the interest.
It's true. It must make you so proud, because you've been on this journey of research, and when you know, go into the factories and when you look through the ingredients, to have somebody from a user perspective engaging in that highly, you know, pinpointed question list that they're asking, it must make you really proud at that moment.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think, you know, we're still a small business, so people still do feedback a lot. I wonder, do you get, when you get to a certain point, is it just like, you know, you don't hear from them as much? I don't know. But our users are definitely, and I think as well, because a lot of our products are for quite intimate areas, so people really want to know what they're using them on and what's in them and how they're going to react. So it's been quite we've had a good relationship with them.
So let's delve a little bit deeper into your journey as a founder and this transition. All of us have experienced, you know, going on the journey and finding a spot where we hit the brakes and we're like, do you know what? It's not working. I need to pivot. I need to change. I need to do something. And those moments are really challenging for all of us. Is there any point of your journey that you remember that happening, whether you were developing a product or whether you were thinking about going, you know, online digitally in some sort of sense? And what did that look like?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of moments. I actually, before I set up Nessa, I had set up another business and with a friend, it was like a kids craft business, so completely different. And, you know, we were about to launch and we pulled the plug, and it was such a difficult decision to just be like, this is not going to work. And then we had put like a year and a half, you know, effort into this, but it just came to the point and you just have to, I think the most important thing is your gut when you're an entrepreneur, because like if like nothing, literally nothing else matters really. And that was a really hard decision for us to make. I think with Nessa, there's definitely been pivots. I mean, one of our products I pulled, I think, 3 weeks before it was supposed to launch because I was just not happy with it. Like, you know what I mean? I just couldn't get behind it. So we pulled it and we, you know, redid it. So that was really difficult. We're at a pivot moment at the moment just because this menopause category has just been growing really organically for us. And it's nearly, you know, it's become nearly as big as our new mom category. And it happened all very organically. And so, you know, we're at a pivot moment now as like how we're going, you know, what we're doing with these customers, because we kind of have one or two products for them at the moment. But as a business, when I launched it, it was for new moms. Like that was where we started. Now it's kind of at a moment. So, you know, we're having those conversations now and just trying to figure out what we're doing.
Of course. And I think too, being a founder who is, you know, in the dailies of the business constantly, it helps in those pivot moments because you're able to acknowledge it and see it and make changes quickly so that you can move on. So do you feel that, you know, on the daily, are you a part of all of these conversations? How is your team set up? Is everything virtual? Do you have an office?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, COVID kind of hit where we were just kind of getting ready to maybe talk about an office. So we've been virtual. So I've got somebody in Ireland and I've got two people here. So we are virtual, but only two of us live in London. So, I mean, it's all done kind of, yeah, I mean, as is life today. So I am in the, like, the weeds of the business sometimes too much because I sometimes need to come out and just look at it from an overall perspective. But I do, I think most founders find it hard to like give certain parts up. So I'm working.
It is hard.
But we do. Yeah, it is hard. I mean, I've given up a lot of kind of like the like social media and emails and all that kind of stuff. So we've got an amazing team member who does that. But there are things like the customer service that I kind of like to keep an eye on. But I do think it's important for founder to get that team right. And I do think it's really hard. Like I haven't built a team before, so it's the learning process. You know, I've had people kind of come and go and I'm still trying to build that perfect mix, which enables me to then kind of grow the business and think about investment and, you know, all these other things that are going on. So it's, yeah, it's a balancing act, which I'm sure many people can relate to.
Completely. And there are so many different facets of, you know, any business, but especially when you are the founder and it's a big piece of your heart and your journey, you know, to take the finger off the pulse in the sense of, for all of us, we feel that we're almost letting something go, but it's actually releasing us for that further productivity in other areas for the business to push it forward.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard.
So it is hard. Yeah, it is. And it's just learning that juggle. I get it, you know, and building the team too. I think one of our other founders on one of our podcasts said, you know, and remember to bring your team together from people who have expertise that you don't have. So know, you know, that you don't know everything and pull the right people in together. And again, like you said, it's listening to your gut. It's, you know, knowing when to pivot, knowing when, you know, you need to move on. And I think that's where, you know, it's a learning process, right? As we go through each day being an entrepreneur. I want to talk about some of your big wins. So has there ever been a moment where you were like, wow, oh my goodness, I didn't expect that to happen so quickly? Or, you know, you were announced in something. I see you smiling. I feel like you already have an idea of what this big win was.
Yeah, there's been a few moments that I think I'll remember forever. And one of them was 2 days after my son was born. So I was like literally just at home. And we got featured in the Daily Mail and it was like an entire piece on Scar Savior. And it was all these photos of before and after photos. So it was like an entire spread. So it wasn't just a small, like this entire article about Scar Savior. And I didn't have fulfillment at this point. Like I was packing all the orders, like, you know, I think we'd launched maybe about 3 or 4 months. And like the orders that came in were more that we had made in like over a year in like 2 days. And it was like, I was like, oh my God, we've made it. We've made it.
I love that. And there you are at home with your newborn.
Yeah, I had to, like, my parents had to, like, I couldn't, so I was sitting there breastfeeding, like, I had a production line, my two parents who were overseeing the baby, and my husband all packing orders, like, for 2 or 5, like, 2 to 5 days of just nonstop orders coming in. So that was, like, I remember that as just like a huge moment for this.
Yeah, that's really special. And it's, I love that you said, you know, you'll remember it for the rest of your life because you will. Those are the moments. You know, we have moments of pivot and then we have moments of pride and joy. And we have to really celebrate all of those as founders because, you know, the journey is long and it's testing, but it's also really rewarding if you do choose to take this journey of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and like there is so many highs and lows, and the lows can be really low and the highs can be so high, and it's, I think it's important to embrace those highs and, you know what I mean, like just remember how amazing they are because you can just go through lows which are hard.
I want to talk about you personally, and I want to get a look because Una series, you know, is all about wellness and well-being and having all of the elements of your life through the physical, the social, the emotional aligned. You juggle a lot. You're a mom of three, you're a wife, you're running a household, you're now running a business, you know, and also here you are, you're one human being also, you know, nurturing yourself. How do you do it? Do you have support? You know, what is it that you lean into when you do need that?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think I have good days and good weeks and bad weeks, you know, depending on who's sick and who's getting up in the middle of the night and I haven't slept and all that kind of stuff. I do have support. I do have someone that helps me with the kids. My husband's very supportive and he's a big Nessa fan in general. So he wants it to be successful. But I do. I mean, it's just, I mean, some days my kids are sick and I can't work on Nessa. And it's just the way it is. And then, you know, I can be working in the evenings then and I can be tired myself and I'm trying to work out and do everything. So there's only enough hours in the day. So I just try and plan, you know, when I'm going to work out, like when I'm going to see the kids, when can I work on Nessa? And then just also have like chill time with my husband, with my friends, be social. It's, you know, it's trying to fit it all in, which you can do. It's just, yeah, it's planning, I think, is the key.
It's so true. It is the planning. And also being okay when the plan doesn't go well. And I love how you said, you know, being up in the middle of the night with kids, because any of the listeners here, whether you are a mother or a father, we get it. You know, those plans just sometimes whoop, go out the door at 2 a.m. and then you're awake from 2 till 6. And then the 6 o'clock goes and you're like, I've got to power through my day. I have no other choice.
Yeah. And you're just like, this can't happen.
And it does. The timing always seems to be so not right. You know, it happens on a day when you've got somewhere to be and you just have to roll with the punches.
Yeah. And you just kind of, you're like, okay, well, the next day's another day. I'll just get through it.
That's true. Being gentle and kind to yourself is, I think, you know, especially so, so important that we all need to remember and remind ourselves to do. Fiona, tell us about something. I know you mentioned you have the menopause range coming out. Can you tell us a little bit more about the range, or is that top secret at the moment?
Well, we're in the process of developing. So we have a menopause supplement, which is new. So we've kind of started into kind of the supplement vitamin space. So that's out at the moment. And then a couple of other products, but we're kind of in the research stage now with the menopause. So we're talking to a lot of doctors, a lot of menopause experts, and we're just, and our customer base as well, because we've got a huge amount of customers now who shop Nessa products for menopause. So we're at a research stage, I would say, now, and we're just trying to figure out, you know, what we can actually help them with, because that's kind of what Nessa is. It's about really trying to help the problems they have, the issues they have, the complaints. So we're really looking at kind of tackling those. So I don't have any, like, you know, we've an idea of what we'd like to do, but it's still very in its infancy. So we're just, Yeah, we're in the research stage, so it could take a couple of months.
Well, how can our UNAs support you? Do you have any kind of online quiz or anything that they can come in and provide some feedback on?
Oh, no, but I should do that because I love feedback. Anyone who wants to give us feedback, that is amazing.
So great, because a lot of our listeners and our UNAs, you know, are perimenopausal and they've been through the menopause. So it would be fantastic if there was some way that they could come and give you some feedback on what they needed or felt that they didn't have, or maybe products that they felt really supported them through the journey.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, anything like that would be amazing. I will set that up for sure because we're planning on doing it for our current customers. To answer and just to get some more feedback. So that would be amazing. Yeah.
I love this. Here we are just always collaborating. This is what I love about these conversations and coming out the other side. I feel, you know, Fiona, there's so much that we can do collectively as female founders, but also, you know, supporters of the female health and the wellness and the body. So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. But before we wrap it up, I would love for you to give any founders, entrepreneurs, anybody looking to take that jump and that leap, any mothers, you know, any parents, any fathers, anyone listening, what advice from Fiona Toomey or anything that you've heard previously that's really carried you through would you give us to move forward each day with strength?
Ooh, let me think. Okay. Your gut, like there is, and I know I mentioned it before, but there is nothing more important, I think, being an entrepreneur. Like that is your everything, your everything. Also just do it, you know, start small. You don't have to, like, I know some businesses obviously take a lot of investment and everything, but you can start small, you know, you can try and figure it out. You don't have to have everything perfect. You know, you just need people to come back to you and tell you what they think of it. And so I think just do it sometimes. Just don't procrastinate. If you think it's good, just do it and listen to your gut and you will be fine.
I love that. It's so, so true. And thank you for sharing your journey and being so open and honest with us on the podcast because it's truly appreciated. And, you know, if you can also let our clients know how they can access you, how they can keep in touch with you, that would be great.
Yes, yes. I mean, I am on the emails, AnessaOrganics.com, Fiona, just you can email me directly. You can send us anything on social. It can get straight to me. So anything you want to do, yeah, I'm here.
Fantastic. Fiona, thank you so much for joining. And Unas, thank you so much for tuning in again to our 9th episode of our Female Founder series. I hope you've enjoyed some of our other conversations because they are all truly, truly impactful and inspiring. We pack a lot in 30 minutes. There's a lot to, you know, dig into and to take from. If you have any feedback, you know we are here. We would love to hear from you, our Unas. Stay tuned for some upcoming events and exciting conversations that we have ahead throughout December and the new year. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you in some of our live classes or online soon. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye.